I believe there are many reasons why we are consumed by the need to make others happy. But I think what's important is, let me ask you, are you exhausted trying to make everyone else happy while feeling like you're losing yourself in the process? I think that if you said, yes, I'm exhausted, and if the question, who am I? What do I like? What makes me happy? Just even starts to overwhelm you. Maybe you're in that process of realizing, oh, I'm a people pleaser. Or maybe you even said to yourself, I can raise my hand and confidently say I'm a people pleaser. But what I want to talk about today is, yes, breaking free from the need to please people, but most importantly, the cost too. What is it costing you to try to make everyone else around you be happy? And I know there's a lot of layers to this, and you can reference back to the podcast I talked about on the fawn response, our nervous system response to make others happy because it makes us feel safe and cared for. But this is a topic that I so often work through with my one-on-one coaching clients. And I want you to know that even from a biblical perspective, it's easy for us to think we have to do it all and be all things to everyone, or else we're not being loving. And maybe you even heard the phrase, well, it's not about you. And we've internalized that to mean that we don't matter. And that's just not the case. Before we move any further, I just also want to know if you've ever thought of these questions before or asked yourself these questions. If God loves me, why did this happen to me? Why can't I seem to control my emotions or reactions? Maybe you've thought, what's wrong with me for still feeling this way? Like, why can't I get over this? And another one I think that is so important is, why do I feel so distant from God? Especially in my pain. Can you relate to any of them? If so, I just want you to know that you're not alone. What if I told you that it is possible to regain control over your emotions and your thoughts and feel his presence even when things feel hard and painful? That's why I'm here. Because when you're looking for support, I want you to know that it's not that I just understand it, but that I've lived through it. I understand how hard it is to work through those negative thought patterns, to set boundaries with people that you love, that you care about, or that is supposed to love you back. I'm not just certified to teach them, but it's because I lived through it that that's why I'm here. I've been where you're standing, and I understand the pain and confusion you feel. And I've just dedicated so much of my life, my education, career to helping women like you overcome negative thought patterns and just regain control of your life. I would love to really work with you to get to the bottom of what's holding you back. Be sure to go to jessicahoddle.com/mental health coaching to book a free 20-minute consult with me today. You can go to wherever you're listening to this episode, head to the show notes, and click the link right away to book a free 20-minute consultation. Hey, friend, do you want to overcome negative thoughts? Do you want to be able to discern whether it's your feelings telling you what to do or God? Are you praying for a mental breakthrough? I'm here to say that numbing out does not have to be your only option. Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places, and this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a board-certified master mental health coach, author, and speaker. I help women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives. More importantly, I'm the big sister who is going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be talking about practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. We're also going to be talking about how to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God. So pull up a chair, join me at the table. Let's get to the bottom of what's holding you back. I always think it's important to kind of give an understanding before we dive into the topic. I think we need to understand people pleasing. Well, if we look at the definition of it, it's not just kindness. It's when we say or we do things to avoid conflict, to gain approval, to feel accepted. And then if we look deeper at some of the root causes, which I'm going to touch on briefly, fear of rejection. We see in Proverbs 29:25, fear of man will prove to be a snare. We might do this because we don't believe that we have any value or worth. And so we'll say yes to anything to get some kind of acceptance. Galatians 1:10, am I now trying to win the approval of human or of God? Trying to win the approval of man or of God? Another root cause of this is childhood conditioning or past trauma, the fawn response. Again, reference that episode, and I'll make sure to link it here as well in the show notes for you to revisit. But another one is believing love must be earned rather than received as a gift from God. I don't know about you, but me personally, I have lived a majority of my life working to be loved or to prove that I deserve a seat at the table. And, you know, we can have all these really cute Bible verses and quotes that say like, well, you have a seat at the table and make your own table. And, you know, I get it. I'm with you. I hear you. But when you have been taught for a majority of your life that love is keeping score, it's not reciprocal, that, you know, you do this for me, I do this for you, or just to get any kind of love, which means I am seen by somebody, that means that I have to do something to get their attention. I have done this in my business. I have been an entrepreneur since the age of 21. I am now, at the time of this recording, 37. I started working from home by the time I was 24. And I have just believed that I've had to fight my way to be seen. And so much of the crowds that I've been in and the people that I've been around that have had crazy amounts of followers, the houses that the Lord opened up for me to walk into, to visit, it just never met the need. It was fleeting. I was searching for something in myself while I was searching outside of myself to meet something inside of myself. And so it's important for us to understand, why are we doing this? And I think it's important for us to see the different sides of that. So if we go back to that fear of rejection, people may please others to avoid being rejected, abandoned, or disliked. So for example, for me, when I was dating, I would change and become a chameleon depending who I was around. So I would change the way I would listen to music, the way I would dress, the way I did my hair. Whatever that person wanted of me, I became, because I wanted to feel loved. And sometimes if we have an anxious attachment, we might feel the need to please others to feel secure. And then if we go to the need for approval, this is kind of where we seek that validation, where if somebody sees me, if I'm making them happy, then that gives me some kind of worth and value. And when we look so low of ourselves, that becomes that common factor. When I'm working with my one-on-one coaching clients, and we're going to get into this, even mentioning boundaries is so parallel with people-pleasing. How to break free from that is so often in the church culture, we've been taught in so many words of what women hear is, I don't matter, other people do. We carry that into everything that we do. So instead of taking information and gathering it, having knowledge, and then applying it to become wisdom, we just kind of hear, you don't matter, everybody else does. So that means that when you, you know, deny yourself or to think of others first. I'm not supposed to think of myself at all. So that must mean that I have to make everybody else happy to be in right standing with God, because this is what he's called me to. And that's just a very scary slope of a misinterpretation of scripture, of where we think we have to always be open, always be available to anybody and everything, which to me just says we don't have boundaries and we don't respect our capacity or our limits, which causes us to feel resentful. And so that cost, though, of people pleasing, that can come at compromising convictions, exhausting, drifting away from God's voice, because we start to think, if I have to make everybody else happy, then why do I want to follow a God that's telling me to just be exhausted? And if I look at my own journey of this, it was, I would keep the love of people separate from the love of God, meaning I knew that God loved me, but I didn't really receive God's love. And I always make this differentiation from in one-on-one sessions with my clients, because so often I'll hear the Christian response, I know God loves me. I know that I'm his daughter. I know. But we have to actually get to the root and be honest with ourselves of what it actually is that we're experiencing, so that we can bridge the gap. So it keeps us from obeying God. It causes resentment and emotional stress. It prevents us from setting healthy boundaries, because Jesus set boundaries even with his closest disciples. And it leads to exhaustion and burnout. So if we're constantly seeking that approval, like I was exhausted. And I think it led to so much stress in my life because of the promises I made to myself when I was a teenager to prove everybody else wrong. And also, I knew I needed to make other people happy so that I could feel safe and secure, even if it was false. So when we think about this from a biblical side, that fear of rejection, again, it's that instead of trusting God's unconditional love, we're seeking other people to do that for us. Then we start to get into identity. When we forget who we are and what he's called us to, the nature and character of God, because we're images of that, we may try to earn our worth through that. And then another one, desire for control. I think people pleasing is an attempt to control what's happening in us, but also things around us, so that, again, if we're controlling things around us, then inside we can feel calm. So yes, I mean, Jesus calls us and commands us to love others, but loving others doesn't always mean pleasing them. If we're talking about biblical love, it involves speaking truth and sometimes setting boundaries. And people pleasing can really compromise that. Okay, you're probably thinking, when are we going to get to the steps of breaking free? We're almost there, I promise. But it needs a foundation. Because if you just want steps, then, well, one, I'm not necessarily your girl. Because the thing is that steps help us, but healing is not this A, B, C, D step. It is a process. And there's a lot of things that are roots that have been watered in our life that have produced weeds in our life, even if there's a lot of good things around us, but we have to tend to the root as well. We can't just focus on necessarily the steps, because we need that awareness in us too of why we're doing it to be able to move forward. I also want to touch on the fact that people pleasers can also come in the form of just that's their gift. They can appear to be very considerate and thoughtful. But sometimes we have to look at it as maybe this behavior is actually protecting them from something deeper. Because people pleasers are working really hard to keep everyone else happy. But not necessarily always do they care deeply. But the reason why is because it makes them feel safe and accepted. This thought puts fear of rejection before the actual well-being and growth of themselves and the people around them. This is important. It's not that they don't care. They truly want to care, but their first priority is to make sure they feel safe and accepted. But this is where I think for us to break free, we have to know where it's coming from, where our patterns are, where that place in our heart is of maybe that we've been ignoring, that we're afraid to confront because it feels so uncomfortable to go to that spot. So let's go to now some steps of breaking free. We need to recognize the pattern. We need to pay attention to when and why we feel obligated to please others. We have to ask ourselves, am I doing this out of love, genuine love, or out of fear? Fear of being rejected. Okay, so if I'm going to say yes to this person, are they going to be upset with me? Meaning rejection. Are they going to not talk to me for a week? Fear of abandonment. You can see how when we start standing up for our values and our morals of what is good, right, pure, and true, and to start to see our own capacity and start to put things in order in our own house of honoring our husband, honoring our kids, knowing what we can really say yes to and no to. As I say to my clients, it will often come with a cost. See, there's a cost to people pleasing, but there's a cost to setting the boundary, to saying no. And you might not like that because when I say that there's a cost, we often always go to a negative, but this is very much a situation where it's both and, meaning it might not feel good when somebody doesn't understand why you say no, but in the end, you will feel free because you have honored your priorities and your values. You will have honored what is good, not what feels like chaos. That you will start to feel the fact that you don't have to earn love. And the next thing, so step one, we want to recognize the pattern. Step two, we want to shift from pleasing people to pleasing God. Now, I know this is a really layered topic, and I don't even want you to think about pleasing God as in like workspace performance. It's just doing what is good. What is his scripture calling us to? How is he calling us to love people? If we think about Galatians 1:10 again, Paul also goes on to say, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. We know scripture also talks about we can serve two masters. So it's really hard to do what is good if we are trying to be a peacekeeper, not a peacemaker. I think it's important too that Jesus disappointed people, but he always obeyed his Father. People were not always clapping for him. They weren't like, yeah, let's do this. It's great. There was a lot of people that he disappointed and that he made very mad, that they felt like he wasn't doing what they wanted him to do according to the Torah or the law. So we have to kind of shift from, okay, where can I learn? Because this is where step three comes in, setting boundary, healthy boundaries without guilt. How can I start shifting? How can I start to honor these priorities, honor my husband, honor my kids, honor my capacity, meaning you're only one person. And when I say capacity, we have to look at emotional capacity, spiritual capacity, physical capacity. So we have to learn to set healthy boundaries without guilt. So we have to practice saying no with grace, with love, and being kind. I can't commit to that, but thank you for thinking of me. You probably already heard me say this, but maybe not. But there are things that my friends know about me, of the boundaries I've set for my relationship with my husband, that they just know, or they know my, like, just things that I don't want to go to. And it's just like kind of a, like, I don't really like to go to concerts, like Christian concerts. I don't like to do girl weekends away. They'll still ask me, but it's a, hey, I love you, but no, thank you. It's honestly like they just know it. And I've set that kind of standard or boundary of what I feel is important, or even just what I get joy out of. And I've been clear to speak it, and they respect me for it. So boundaries are not rejection, they're wisdom. I know my capacity with certain things, and I know energy and what will bring me joy or bring good things. And I've learned to set that, because that is what's going to help the people pleasing of what is important here. What has God calling me to in this season? And that's what's important for me. Then everything that comes up around that, I can go back to that, those values and morals, and stay in integrity with myself and with God and say, I love you and I want to spend time with you, but maybe in 2 weeks, can we meet? You're still communicating, or if it's a little bit more, I want to say heavier, but deeper than that, it's, I'm not okay when you say this. Could we maybe not talk about that? Or can you maybe word that differently? And for some of you, you're like, whoo, ain't no way I can say that. And I get that. You get there. I've been working a lot with my one-on-one coaching clients about setting body boundaries, I guess you could say. I just like the alliteration. But how they allow other people to talk about their body, or the input, or just even how they talk about their body to other people. Okay, digress. Step 4, renew your mind. This is an ongoing process. You do not think once a truth and it becomes the way you live. This is something that you are going to have on like repetition. So if you're thinking, if I say no, they won't like me, we have to have truth here of my worth is not found in their approval. I love them and I would like that they'd be okay with this, but I don't need them to be okay with this. Step 5 is trusting that others will be okay. I think this is really huge when it comes to people pleasing, because sometimes we feel responsible for everyone's happiness. Galatians 6:5 talks about how each one should carry their load. In that same passage of scripture, it does talk about carrying one another's burdens, but it also talks about how we are to carry our own load as well. So you are not responsible for everyone's happiness. Step 1, recognize the pattern. Step 2, shift from people-pleasing to walking this out with God. Step 3, setting healthy boundaries without guilt. Step 4, this is where we're renewing our mind. We have to know what the lies are. That comes with pattern recognition and awareness of our thoughts and welcoming silence. Step 5, trust that others will be okay, because you are not responsible for everyone's happiness. If people pleasing is something that is hard, you're feeling this hard to break, hard to walk through, hard to get over, and you are feeling stuck, book a free 20-minute consult with me by going to jessicahoddle.com/mental health coaching, or wherever you're listening, head to the show notes and click the link right from there. As always, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life, and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.